And this today's passage is one that really hits my heart. And I pray that it will be one that hits your heart as well. And that the Holy Spirit will make this passage really real to you. Let's take a moment to pray and we'll dive into our passage. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all of your blessings, for the way that you work in our hearts, the way that you work through us. Would be passionate about diving into your scripture and operating out of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're continuing with the book of Galatians. We're in chapter 6, starting in verse 7. That's Galatians 6, verse 7. And verse 7 starts this way. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. It's a fairly short passage compared to some of the ones that we normally try and tackle on a Sunday morning, but it's a very potent one. It's very important that we begin to grasp this and grasp it well. He starts off with saying, "Don't be deceived, God is not mocked." And we look at this and we say, "But God's mocked all the time." That's the same attitude that he was trying to correct in the Galatians, because they were okay with mocking God. And they were getting to the point where they said, God isn't going to do anything about it if people mock God. And so Paul, as he's writing this letter, says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. This is kind of like a father saying to his children, I will not be spoken to that way. Will he probably be spoken to that way? Yes. But will it go unpunished? No. There will be discipline. There will be consequences. God's not saying, no one ever has the capacity to mock me. What he's saying is, if you mock me, there will be consequences. Let that sink for a moment. And he makes a interesting transition from that to the next. Whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Now, if we lived in a more agriculture society, if we lived where more farmers grew up food and sowed seed, this would be an easier concept to grasp. But one of the things that we need to realize is that when we sow out one thing, when we plant one type of seed, it doesn't bring forth a different type of crop. I was listening to one pastor talking about this passage over the last week, and one of the things that was really funny is he told a story on himself as a young child. He got the concept that if you plant one thing in the ground, then the same type of thing will grow up. He was from a very poor working class family, and he really liked Campbell's soup. So what he would do is he would go out into the yard and plant a can of Campbell's soup. And the next door neighbor lady, who he called Grandma because she was like a grandma figure to him, would sneak out into the yard and dig it up and plant more Campbell's soup cans for him. So he got the idea that if you plant one thing, you don't get something different. But he didn't get that that wasn't this kind of seed you could plant. But one of the things that we must realize is that if we plant one thing, if we plant sin, we will not receive godliness. If we behave in one way and expect to be treated in another, it's not going to happen. Often we treat people horribly. We act like we are the God of our own universe, and people are stupid and they must bow to us. And what we expect is them to treat us like we're worth something. That's an example of how sowing one thing and expecting reaping something else, it just doesn't work. And what we find as we are going through this is that as churches, we often expect to plant one thing and receive something else. When people walk into our church, we expect them to behave a certain way, and if they don't, we often treat them poorly. And we expect them to change and conform to our style of worship, but instead what happens when we treat people poorly is they end up leaving the church and treating us poorly, speaking poorly of us as we spoke poorly of them. One of the things that we have been seeing through this entire book is the distinction between flesh and spirit. Flesh is anything we do not led by Jesus, not led by His Holy Spirit. We can do good things. We can picket abortion clinics. We can never get drunk. We can do all of these things, but if we do them of our own power, we're still throwing out seed of the flesh. We're not being obedient to God. We're trying to earn our own way. We're trying to do our own thing. And one of the things that we see over and over again throughout the entire book of Galatians is that he's saying, don't get caught up in what you have to do to get to heaven. Instead, let Jesus lead you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. If there is anything I want our church to grasp more than it does right now, is let the Holy Spirit guide you.
I want to plead with you over this because we have become so habitually indoctrinated into what it means to be a Christian that we've stopped living by the Holy Spirit. Instead, what we have begun to do is we have our checklist of things that we have to do and things that we shouldn't do. And as long as we stay within a certain healthy ratio of that, we think that we're good Christians, but we've stopped listening to God. We've stopped letting Him speak into our lives. Now, I'm not going to go as far as to say that everything is contingent upon what you think the Holy Spirit is saying to you. If the Holy Spirit is saying something other than what Scripture says, it's not the Holy Spirit. You're dialed into the wrong number. But what we're going to find is that we are being called, we are being led to sow a different kind of seed than we've ever sowed before. We are being called to plant a different type of seed than has ever been planted by us before. Seed that comes from the Spirit. If we invest our time in getting to know God, if our goal is to get to know God, He will make us like Him. If our goal is to become like Him, then we will fall into the same pitfall that Adam and Eve and Satan fell into. We won't know Him, and we won't be like Him. I really want us to grasp this, that getting to know Jesus is the most important thing you can do. And if you know Jesus, you will sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Doesn't mean you'll never sow to the flesh. But there will be a change in you, and you will not be content to remain in habitual, unrepentant sin. You will not be content if you know Jesus to just mark off your checklist of what you think it is to be a good Christian. This is how crazy we can be as Christians, as we get our moral checklist checked off. And then what happens is we have a tendency to start bragging about that. I have heard people brag over and over again about how long it was since they took their last drink, but never once have I heard people say, you know what, God broke that addiction, or I never took that because God said don't to me. All I hear is, look at how good I am, I've never taken a drink, or it's been this many years since I've taken a drink. If that is what has made us righteous, then we have no need for Jesus. And what we're doing is we are replacing Jesus with something that cannot possibly satisfy as much. We're going to get into this next week, but we're going to be talking about appropriate boasting. And Paul's going to show us what good boasting looks like. And one of the things that Paul says, though, in this passage is do not grow weary in doing good. The biggest hindrance, the biggest problem, the biggest obstacle that we as Christians run into, or we as the church run into, other than pride, is time. We grow weary of doing good. We grow weary of listening to the Holy Spirit. We grow weary of investing our time and our energy into deepening our relationship with Jesus. We grow weary of treating people well. We grow weary of feeding the poor and the hungry. We grow weary of fighting temptation. We grow weary of resisting the devil. I am here to tell you that if we do not give up, if we finish well, there is a reward to be reaped. There will grow a harvest that will come. And the biggest problem we as Christians run into finishing well is the fact that we grow weary and we get tired because we don't see the fruit. And we give up. I want to tell you, we are seeing fruit now. Even though this room seems still way too big for us, we are seeing fruit now in this time from relationships that have been built for years upon years upon years. There are some people in the neighborhood that I've heard stories that they used to run into their house when they saw someone from our church coming. And there are people like and Bessie Halfacre who have pursued a friendship with that family so long and continuously that fruit is starting to be seen on that. Not too long ago, I saw that there was a disturbance over at their house and someone had called the cops and it was just a mess, and I walked over there. And a cop came in between me to stop me from approaching the situation and said, "Do you have anything to do with this?" And I just started to say, "No, I'm the pastor from across the street." But before I got that out, a lady that has only when her children have been in programs, been in this church or some of our family outreach things, she quickly approached the police officer and said, "That's our pastor." We are seeing fruit of long time labor. And there are some fruit that will be born that will never be seen by us until we get to heaven with Jesus. And we can look down on all of time and say, "Wow, you did that through me?" And what we need to be reminded of is to finish the race strong, to not give up. We cannot give up. If we do give up, we risk losing the reaping that God has for us. We risk losing. What God is trying to accomplish through his church. I'm telling you. And another thing that's being implied in this is if we do not finish, if we do not keep running the race, then it may be possible that we never knew Jesus to begin with. We see Jesus talking about the parable of the seeds. We see some gets thrown and gets pecked away. We see some that find soil and grows really fast and then gets dried out in the desert sun. And I think that some of us, we hear the gospel and we get all excited about it. Jesus forgives me. He died for me. And we start growing really fast. And then we give up. We get choked out by the world. We get dried up by the sun. The rocks don't allow our root system to grow. We get overwhelmed by the worries and concerns of this world. And we don't continue on to all of life. We never really knew Jesus to begin with. If you know Jesus, you will sow to the Spirit. And you will be tempted to grow weary in doing good. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will finish well. If you seek him, if you let him work in you. Let him, as that first song we sang this morning, transform you from the inside out. One thing I want you to see is that Paul here says, do not grow weary in doing good to everyone. And especially to those who are of the household of faith. I combined two of them a little bit, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Sometimes we get the attitude that we can treat Christians however we want to treat them because they're Christians and they have to forgive us. But instead, what we should be showing is how awesome our God is, how close the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are by reflecting good and redeemed community. Showing how true community was meant to be lived. I'm going to take it back, as I always do, back to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I emphasize Lord as well as Savior, where he has control over your life, then you are not able to invest, to plant into the Spirit. Not if you don't know Jesus. And it's all out of him. He is God eternal, who came down from heaven to earth, lived the sinless life that we have not lived, died the death that we should have died, and rose from the grave to give us hope for eternity. If you don't know him as your Savior and Lord, then I invite you today to make that decision, whether it's coming forward and letting us know, or if you're kind of shy, God hears your prayer in your seat too, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know. But today is decision day. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Or are you trying to squeak by with him just being your Savior and not your Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being our Savior and our Lord and sending us your Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would be laying on our hearts every area that we do not allow you to be Lord of. God, please work in us. Pray that it would not be us who lives, but you who live within us. And that we would be relying totally and completely on you. In Jesus' name, amen.